this is the Ripper. Now, I'm gonna answer these questions on this thing, but not because I like ya, but because I want the world to know about the Ripper. I just want the world to know a little bit about the Ripper, you see. I am one of the top sports celebrities in the world, and I do deserve my due, so I'm gonna answer these questions. What's my legal name? My legal name is Rip Savage, the Bronx Barbarian, that's right. Birth date, I ain't gonna tell you, it's none of your business, you don't gotta know how old I am. My height is 5'10", my body weight is 235 pounds, that's right. I ain't married right now or nothing, so you can tell all the babes that the Ripper's single and their fantasies that I'm mauling their luscious little bodies with my big animalistic muscles could possibly come true. That's right. How could a man of my handsomeness and my sex appeal stay married? But I was married. My wife's name was Baby Savage. At least that's what I call her. All my women, I call them Baby, see? And my children, I got 3 children right now. Buster, age 10, Strangler, age 8, and my little girl, Medusa, age 6. That's right. Now, if you want to get in touch with me, you can write to me at my post office box, which is on the envelope. What's the matter? You can't read or something? And don't give that out to nobody either. Well, let me put it this way, pal. I'm the next heavyweight champion of the world, that's right. I've wrestled to a draw twice for the United States heavyweight title. But they always seem to steal it from me, they always disqualify me, they claim I use weapons in the ring, they make all kinds of phony accusations about me that ain't true, see? And that's the only reason I ain't been champion so far, that's right. Okay, you asked me where I learned to wrestle. Well, let me put it this way, pal. I learned to wrestle in the streets of the Bronx. Yeah, I took a little bit of amateur wrestling, and, you know, I did pretty good. But we won't talk about that, pal. I didn't learn in no fancy college, and I didn't take no karate or nothing like that, pal. That's right. Where I learned was in the streets, pal, and that's the toughest place to learn. Why did you choose professional wrestling as your occupation as opposed to another sport of the professional nature? Because it's a man sport, pal. I ain't involved in no sissy sport like tennis. Could you imagine the Mighty Ripper running around these pathetic little tennis shorts? Or could you imagine me doing something stupid like bowling? Or could you imagine me, for instance, with a pair of baggy pants on my ass sticking out, golfing or doing something stupid like that? And I hate football too. I'm going to tell you what football is. Football's a bunch of big fat slobs bumping bellies so a bunch of little skinny twerps can run around the backfield with a ball. It's boring. It's stupid. I hate football. A lot of football players go into wrestling and I get them out of the game real quick. In fact, one of my ambitions is to get rid of all professional so-called athletes that try a man's sport of professional wrestling. How many years have I been involved? Well, I started wrestling in 1975, you know, professionally. But I've been going in and out of it for a while now, that's right. I've been wrestling main events after I've been in the game for only about a year, that's right. They realize how truly great I was. My greatest physical asset? Well, a lot of times people say to me, Ripper, what makes you so much better than all these other wrestlers? Well, I got 2 things in my favor, way more than any other wrestler has, and it makes me that much better. And them 2 things are anger and hatred. That's right. The whole Savage family has them attributes. That's why we are truly great athletes at whatever we try. That's right. Now it says, what do you consider your greatest physical asset? Well, there's a lot of things. First of all, my looks draw all the women fans. The women all write letters to me saying, Daddy, I wish you'd save me from my fat, disgusting husband. Well, and the male fans say, Ripper, I wish I was big and powerful like you instead of fat and disgusting and inferior like I am. That's right. Now, it lists some things. Strength. Well, I certainly have strength. I'm certainly one of the strongest men in the game. And power, speed, you can't even see the moves I make. They're so fast. Cardiovascular endurance, let me tell you something, pal. I'm in about the greatest shape. You look at my body. I ain't a big fat slob like most of these wrestlers. I ain't some skinny twerp. This is a truly powerful athlete. I lift weights, that's true. But I ain't no skinny, I don't have the skinny pencil neck like most of these bodybuilders do. Or if you slap them across the face, you break their neck. This is truly a wrestler's physique. This is a true strength athlete right here. What is your favorite hold and why? Well, there's a lot of holds that I like. I like hitting people in the head. I like kneeing them in the nuts. I like hitting them with chairs. I like hitting them with chains. I like biting. I like scratching. I like eye gouging. They're my favorites. But my favorite hold of all, I have two of them. One of them made me, I've been banned in 5 states because of it, and that's the dreaded face claw. I put that hold on people, and they don't look the same afterwards. And I've been banned from 5 states because of it. That's right. It says, why is that my favorite hold? Because, well, I like pain, pal, but I don't like it when it's on myself. I like it when I inflict it upon my opponents. If my opponent is a little bit lighter, usually I'll put him in a backbreaker, make sure he don't walk for a little while, see? But otherwise, I use the face claw. That gets everybody. What's my favorite escape maneuver? There's a lot of them. A good quick knee, a good little gouge here and there, a good little stranglehold, pulling the hair, pulling the trunks, stepping outside the ring. Them's all good escapes, see? Today, who do you consider your toughest opponent? Well, I don't consider none of them very tough, see? Because compared to me, they're nothing. The Sheik gave me quite a few good battles in the southern United States, but still, I don't consider that too much. Nobody's tougher than me, that's right. Now it says, what type of weight training program are you presently following? And stuff like that. Well, I ain't going to go into a lot of detail. But let me put it this way. I train every body part. I train my calves. I train my legs. I train my abdominals. I train my lower back. I train my upper back, my arms, my chest, my biceps, triceps, forearms, and my neck. I don't leave one single muscle untrained. That's right. I train very hard. I do about anywhere from 10 to 20 sets, depending on how much time I have. And I train anywhere from 2 to 7 days a week, depending on how much time I have, see? I love to train. I'm sick with it. That's right. Okay, it says, is your weight training for improving strength and fitness, or is it more for cosmetic look like a competitive bodybuilder? Well, let me put it this way, pal. I look good no matter what kind of workout I do. I could do heavy powerlifting, and I won't be a big fat slob like these powerlifters. I'll still be a handsome athlete. I could do bodybuilding, and I won't be some prissy-looking, prancing, schmetic-looking character like these other bodybuilders with these skinny little necks and 20-inch arms. I still look like an athlete. I still look like a bodybuilder. So it don't matter, pal. Everything makes me stronger. Everything makes me look good. How much would I say weight training helps me? Well, it helps me a whole lot, pal, because I'm a lot stronger than most of my opponents, and even the ones that lift weights just don't have the other things to match me. Okay, what value do you place on nutrition? Well, I'm going to tell you, I put a lot of value on nutrition, pal. Every morning I wake up, I drink a bottle of Jack Daniels, I chow down 5 or 6 bologna sandwiches, and then I go and work out, pal. That's right, I eat like a man. I eat steaks, I eat potatoes, I eat lots of ice cream. That's right, I drink lots of Jack Daniels. And that's my secret, pal. I eat good. You ask if I feel that this helps me avoid major injuries, my diet? Well, I would say the thing that makes me avoid major injuries is that I attack first. That's right. I don't sit there and I wait for my opponent to get dirty with me. I get dirty first. I make sure he's very, very badly hurt and he ain't in a position to hurt me. He ain't in no condition to hurt me, let's put it that way. Now you ask me what changes I make in my program when I'm training for a professional match. Well, I'll tell you. I like to relax. I like to smoke a lot of weed. I like to lay down and have 3 or 4 beautiful naked women massaging my muscles, massaging my body. That's how I get ready for a main event. Now you ask about traveling and how much I wrestle. Well, that depends. You see, I've been kind of retired for a while. See, I got an injury a ways back and then decided to focus in on my getting back in shape and everything. But the truth is that out of the ring, I'm kind of like a fish out of water. I love the ring. I love being back in there, busting heads where I belong.
That's right.
Now, you asked me about how you maintain a positive family relationship. Well, it was very easy. See, when I had a family, I rule them with an iron hand. I don't let them get out of line. I ain't like these pathetic little wimps, these Dagwood Bumstead husbands that let their wives trample all over them and stuff. I slap them around a little. But you see, I like these big, powerful women that when you slap them, they slap you back. You know what I mean? But that's the only way. And then you keep your kids in line, too. You got to learn them good. You got to learn them how to wrestle, how to take care of themselves. You got to make them lift weights when they're kids. That's right. And the most important thing you got to teach your kids, the most important lesson that you could ever teach your children is don't take shit from no one. Okay, you asked me, is the majority of fans considerate of your privacy outside of the ring? Well, let me put it this way. The majority of fans, if you take the whole wrestling arena and you add up their IQ, you usually come up with a figure in the minus category. I don't talk to them. They don't talk to me. I have no use for them. They're a bunch of idiots. When I see them, all I see is little dollar signs walking in. I don't want fans. All I want is their money. Now you ask me if they want to test me on a fight situation. Well, let me put it this way. A lot of people have this fantasy of stepping in the ring with the Ripper. But believe me, the fantasy of being in the ring with a Ripper and being able to tell all your friends that you were in the ring with the Ripper is far different than the reality of getting your head stomped in by the Ripper. Now you ask how I avoid a fight confrontation situation. Well, that's very simple, see. First of all, you don't if the guy's smaller than you or if he's around the same size. But if the guy's pretty big, let's say some big 300-pound bruiser comes up to me, I just say, look, pal, you're bigger than me. I don't want to fight you. Let's handle this thing peacefully. Let's just forget the whole thing. And then the guy goes, okay, and he turns around and walks away. As soon as he walks away, I pick up a brick or I pick up a chair or I pick up a club and I beat the guy's damn brains in. That's right. I fracture his skull. That's how I handle a fight situation, a fight confrontation, if the guy's big. You remember this. There's guys in this world that could take me in a fight, but they never do, and I'm going to tell you why. All my fights are 2 out of 3 falls. I might lose the first one, but I'll always win the second one. There's never a third one. Because no matter how big and bad and tough the guy is, he might be the world heavyweight boxing champion, he might be the world karate champion, the world wrestling champion, you just remember one thing, he's got to turn his back on me sometime. Now you asked about wrestler, you know, being, you know, popular or hated, rule breakers or all this. Well, people always say to me, Ripper, are you a good guy or are you a bad guy in the ring? Well, good is when you win, and bad is when you lose. I'm pretty good, pal. Okay. Now, you say, what determines whether or not you're going to be a clean wrestler or bad? Well, I tried wrestling clean a few times, and believe me, the other guy always tries to do something to win, so I'm out for one thing, only one thing. My good friend Sonny Barger, president of Hell's Angels, once learned me something a long time ago when I first come to California to party with him and his boys. And that's that there's only one set of rules in that ring, and them's my rules. Now you ask, what's the rules in professional wrestling? Well, generally they tell you, well, you know, you don't do a lot of stuff. You know, you got to kind of just have a clean match. Kind of wrestle around, use holds, pin the guy's shoulders to the mat, or put a hold on him that makes him submit. But you know something? The truth of the matter is, in professional wrestling, anything is wrestling. You kick the guy in the head, that's wrestling. You hit him on the head with a chair, that's wrestling. You throw him outside the ring and stomp on his head, that's wrestling. It's all wrestling, pal. That's right. Now you ask me if wrestling's planned, how much of it's planned and all of this. And if the winner is determined before the mat wars begin and all this. Well, people always say to me, Ripper, is wrestling fake or is it real? I hear all kinds of people saying it's phony, it's set up, it's prearranged, and all this. Well, let me tell you this, pal. When the Ripper gets in the ring, you hear bones breaking, you see teeth flying, you see blood flowing. There ain't nothing fake about that, pal. You ask the hospitals. I get letters all the time from ambulances and paramedics. They say, Ripper, we're glad when you're in town because we get a lot of business. I get letters from travel agencies saying, thanks for being in our area, Ripper. We got all these bookings to Timbuktu and Cucamonga and all these places thousands of miles away because all these other wrestlers hear that you're in the territory and they don't want no part of you, pal. That's right. Now, what's fake about that? You just tell me, pal. Now, you asked me about fake blood and all that. How can there be fake blood? If you put fake blood in your head and you're sweating, that blood would be in your belly before long. There ain't nothing fake about blood. I had my head bashed open a bunch of times. I've had stitches in my head a whole bunch of times. There ain't nothing fake about that. Maybe I'll send you my doctor bills, chump. Maybe you should pay them, and then you tell me if it's fake or not. I've been in a hospital with a busted elbow that ruined my bodybuilding career. I've been in the hospital many times after matches because of things that opponents have done to me. I put many, many men in the hospital. That's right, because when I was in the hospital recovering from that elbow injury, all I could think of is how great pleasure I'm going to get out of inflicting that same pain on my opponents. And about them using chicken blood, let me put it this way. When I get my hands on these wrestlers, half the time the blood that you see that comes out of them, you could call it chicken blood because they're chickens and it's their blood, pal. And then you ask if there's a lot of injuries, more frequent as opposed to other professional contact sports. I'd say there's more injuries in wrestling than anything. Bruno Sammartino broke his neck wrestling. Countless people have lost their lives. There have been cases of broken necks, fractured skulls. Every time I go into the match, I end up hurt. I'm limping around for days after each match. That's right. People think that you go in there and play around. It ain't no play, pal. It ain't no party. It ain't no disco. It ain't no fooling around. When you're in there wrestling, pal, you're in there boogieing, man. You're in there ginning. That's right. And believe me, pal, you get injured, and the guy that you wrestle gets injured. Now, how can you compare that to jogging or tennis or something? Might get a little twisted ankle. That ain't nothing like a broken arm or a dislocated shoulder, which you get all the time in wrestling, or a back thrown out of place from getting body slammed. But wrestling is a sport for real tough guys, real tough men, and real tough women. It ain't no sissy sport. We don't go and cry and complain about little injuries like, you know, baseball player hurts his little pinky finger and he's out for the season. I spit on baseball. Baseball's the most disgusting sport there is. The only good news I can hear about baseball is if two jet airliners carrying a baseball team collide in midair and crash on a stadium where two teams are playing. It's disgusting. The real national pastime's wrestling, pal. Now you're asking about feuds. Well, naturally there's feuds. Do we conjure it up? Well, it just happens, pal.
Like, take for instance you, pal. Some of these questions you ask me are beginning to annoy me, and I think there's going to be a feud between me and you, pal. You're getting kind of nosy, if you know what I'm talking about. And when I see you, I'm going to break every bone in your body, pal. Then you tell me if we really have feuds or not.
Now you ask if they're authentic. Well, what do you think, pal? What do you think when people are wrestling each other, trying to win? Whether you make it to the top or not depends on whether you make a living. Damn right there's feuds. Damn right they're for real. Now you wonder how come you might see them training together in the gym. Well, a lot of times you might put things aside so you can work out in the gym. The gym ain't a place to carry on wrestling feuds. After all, if I'm training there and someone like Ivan Putski or John Studs walking around Gold's Gym and we're carrying on feuds, they might hit me in the head while I'm in the middle of a bench press, or I might do the same to them. Well, there's a little bit of mutual respect. The feud ends once we walk in them gym doors. That's just kind of a one kind of chivalrous type of thing that we got going in wrestling. Now you ask how come people... What, you know, why they use certain names and this and that, colorful names and stuff like that. Well, what do you expect, pal? They do that in every sport and everything else.
I can name...
If you was a wrestler, for instance, and your name was Herman Fudd or something, wouldn't you change it to something like the Mighty Atlas or something like that? Well, it's the same thing here, pal. Everybody wants a little color. Just like in boxing, you hear a guy called the Hitman and this and that. You know, in other sports, you hear it too. You know, Magic Johnson, all that sort of thing. Well, it's the same thing in wrestling, you know. People want to be colorful, you know. Some of them don't deserve the names that they have, but it does add a little bit of color, you know. As far as the different wrestling alliances go, it's the same like in bodybuilding or, you know, AAU versus the other organizations. Yeah, I'd say that the competition's just as good. A lot of times the guys switch back and forth, you know, depending on where the money is. Right now, the Worldwide Federation, the World Wrestling Federation, is getting to be the big one. I predict that sooner or later it's going to be the only one, and then wrestling's going to be unified for once the way it should be. Well, as far as that goes, the National Wrestling Alliance is the oldest one. That's the one with the family tree that goes back. But it's kind of like the IFB and BB and NABBA. The NABBA was the original one. It's the actual one. It's the one with the family tree going way back. But it lost popularity because they ain't paying as much, because they don't, you know, they don't give you enough publicity and this and that. Well, it's the same thing with the Worldwide Federation. It's getting bigger. It's growing. Pretty soon, I'm sure it's going to take over, but you can never really tell. Okay, I'm going to tell you who my current manager is. The current manager is a lovely woman, bodybuilding champion, powerlifter, very powerful woman. Her name is Beastie Savage. That's right. My baby Beastie. That's right. I won't talk too much about her background, except that she's from the Bronx, and she's bad, just like me. A lot of bad rumors about her, such as that she slips me weapons and stuff during my match. Well, I've never seen that. The referees have never seen that. Just these idiot fans that don't like me too much start them rumors, and the promoters that try to get me in trouble with the Wrestling Alliance. But the truth of the matter is, she's truly a wonderful woman. She's always there. She gives me words of encouragement, and she is truly great. Beastie, you're a great manager there, baby. The best territories now, it used to be Southern United States. Now it's probably the East Coast, New York and them places. That's right. Now you're asking about the intelligence of some of these wrestlers, if they're smart or not. Well, do they have college experience? Do they have college education? Well, yeah, a lot of them do go to college. A lot of them could be termed intellectuals. A lot of them are stupid morons. A lot of them have the IQ of a pea. But let me put it this way. I judge people's intelligence by how highly they think of me, you know? And I know that Jack Armstrong, Wild Man Jack Armstrong, my tag team partner, my manager Beastie Savage, I put them in the genius category, pal. Now you ask how you break into wrestling. Well, there's wrestling schools all over the country. Killer Kowalski's got one in Boston. Woody Farmer's got one in Northern California and Hayward. You have to go to one of these places. You have to pay a whole lot of money. They slam you around. They teach you the moves and everything. Takes anywhere from a few months to maybe a year, depending on how high you pick up on it. You start out by wrestling some good guys, kind of preliminary TV stuff. Probably get your butt kicked for a long time till you know what you're doing, you know what I mean? But the whole thing is this. If I were you, I wouldn't get into pro wrestling, because you might have to face the Ripper someday. What percentages of those wash out? I'd say a lot of them, pal. And what is it? It's probably how tough the sport is. It ain't for sissies, pal. You gotta be a truly tough individual to be a professional wrestler. How are they chosen for a preliminary or main event? It depends on how you appeal to the audience and how good you are, pal. That's right. Well, I don't know about other people, how long it takes them to be a main eventer. It took me less than a year, and that's very rare. Some guys take as long as 20 years to be a main eventer, but I was a main eventer from the beginning. Them promoters were intelligent. They said, Ripper, you got star quality. We know people come to see you get beat. We know you ruin our wrestlers. They don't come back no more, but we know that you make money. Your last name, Savage, has that line going through it, meaning a dollar sign. Now you ask my opinion of these wrestlers. Well, I don't have a good opinion on any of them, pal. That's right. Who do you feel is the strongest wrestler on the scene today? Well, probably because of his size, Hulk Hogan. How about pound for pound? Well, I have to say myself, pal. Who is the most intelligent? Obviously, it's me, pal. Obviously, I'm the most intelligent man in wrestling, probably the best wrestler, and no doubt one of the very strongest men in the game today. That's right. And who else falls into that category? Anybody that admires the Ripper and knows how truly great he actually is. If a pro wrestler of your stature were involved in a real life situation in the street, do you feel you could handle yourself adequately? Are you kidding? I was raised in the street, pal. That would be a cup of tea to me, pal. That would be nothing at all. That's right. That's where I got my ability to wrestle. Full contact karate, let me tell you something, pal. That karate is so... It's so stylized and everything that while he's getting himself in position, I'd have his teeth splattered all over that cement. How would a midget wrestler do? Now that's a funny question, pal. Okay, now you ask, how does a small guy do against a real big guy in professional wrestling? Let's say Andre the Giant. Let's say myself. I come in there at 235. I'm up against 500-pound Andre the Giant. Well, I got a few things to say about that, pal. I mean, first of all, and it says, is this fair and all that? Well, everything's fair in professional wrestling, pal. But remember this. My old man, Killer Savage, learned me a long time ago that an ounce of gold is worth more than a ton of manure. Not only that, but they're all the same size when they're laying on their back, and that's where they end up when they get in the ring with the Ripper. When I step into the ring and a man is real big, like for instance last week, I wrestled a big, huge guy, Bear Trapper Smith. He was about 6'5", 6'6", and weighed 500 pounds, but he was no problem for me. When I see a huge, gigantic man come in the ring, I'm only worried about one thing, and that's if they have a stretcher big enough to carry him out of the ring when I get done with him. Now, you ask me how foreign wrestlers do compared to American wrestlers. Well, let me tell you something, pal. I'm an American. I'm proud of it. I hate foreigners. I think they're a bunch of fools or a bunch of idiots. When I get them in the ring, I confuse them with a little bit of good old American style, if you know what I mean. Ha, 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 ha. That's right. They can't beat the Ripper. That's right. And I will be heavyweight champion of the world, no matter what country I go to, whether I'm wrestling a bunch of filthy little Mexicans or a bunch of disgusting Japanese or a bunch of stupid square-headed Germans. I'm going to come out on top, pal. That's right, because the Ripper is truly great. I'm greater than anybody in any country, and I'm an American, pal. Ain't you lucky that you're an American, that you come from the same country the Ripper, the greatest athlete in the world, comes from? Okay, this whole conversation has ceased to amuse me, pal. I don't want to talk to you no more. That's the end of this tape.